Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of On the Pace, and filling the chair while Gareth Hall takes a good break is Greg Hayes. Morning to you, Hazy.
Good morning, Hoss. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Good to talk to you. Just before we get to our guests, tell us about Bathurst on Sunday. How good was it there?
Yeah, fantastic day. It was a little bit chilly. There was a little bit of rain during the day, and it was pretty light rain. I don't know if it was snow, but it was pretty close to it. The guys that competed there and the girls that competed there, they did a fantastic job. Of course, Pepper Tree Farm, New South Wales Breeders' Challenge final day. There was six of the finals, and it was great to see all different trainers take that out. Wayne Dimmock won a race. Belinda McCarthy won a race. David Hewitt won a race. Amanda Turnbull trained a winner, Trevor White trained one, and James Rattray. So, you know, all parts of the state were able to win regional finals, and a good chance for the big guns from the Breeders' Challenge series unable to compete in the regional finals, and a good chance to spread the money around.
I know it was a short price.
It was a real afternoon of racing. And, congratulations to all the winners.
Yeah, for sure. I know it was a short price favourite, but Chum Lee for Amanda Turnbull looks to have a bright future.
Yeah, it does. Amanda's going to now prepare Chum Lee for the Breeders' Crown. And having a chat to her, she said, look, you know, obviously when we go up in grade, we're going to have to drive him a little bit more conservatively. She was very aggressive with him on Sunday, driving through from a second row draw, and she found the lead and then was able to control the speed and kicked home very quickly. She said, but once we get back and we have to race the really top horses, we will look to drive him quietly and we'll drive him to follow the pegs. But she said he's very quick, and he showed that on Sunday afternoon with that blistering 27.5 last quarter. In saying that, there was a very, very strong tailwind in the home straight. So horses that led around the turn and hadn't done too much work in the back straight where they were racing into the breeze were then able to really get home very fast. And that's what we saw from Chum Lee. Nice horse, though, and be interesting to see whether Amanda can get him through to the Breeders' Crown Final, or, you know, maybe a race like the Consolation might be right up his alley.
All right, well, let's focus in on our guest. The first of these is Les Bentley, who's the president out of Bankstown. Morning to you, Les.
G'day, boys.
Good to talk to you. Here's Greg Hayes to talk about a big day coming up.
That's for sure.
Yeah, Les, I thought we'd better get you on this morning. A lot of people might not know the plight of James Webb, trainer who had a very nasty track work fall going back to June 14, and he's sustained some very, very serious injuries, and good to see the Bankstown Club put on a fundraiser for him coming up on August 27.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, Jim's a second-generation trainer from Bankstown. His dad was there as well, so we've got to look after our own, mate.
Well, tell us what happened.
He's got this little bit of a rogue horse, and he was on the jog track. It decided it was going to play up, so Jim's moved to the inside of the track, thinking that everything will be fine. He's out the rate of everybody. It started to buck and jump and carry on, and then it's dug itself in, landed on its head. The shafts are dug into the ground, and it's catapulted him. And a few of the blokes that were there said that the highest they've ever seen a bloke go up in the air and come down on his head, which was the worst part. And it's fractured his neck. They've got his a steel brace. They've actually put a plate in the back of his neck. He's good in spirits. His mind's working very well. His feet are starting to get a little bit of furling back in them. But he's got no feeling in his hands at the moment, and he's a working sort of a person. He works around the clubs as a casual waiter, and he does a lot of mechanical work. So it's a big setback for him.
So he's obviously got a long rehabilitation process in front of him. He would be needing a lot of support from the industry at the moment.
Well, he is, and I tell you, he's getting it. Harness Racing New South Wales have bent over backwards to help us with different things for his wife, Trish, and the three young girls. She doesn't drive. She hasn't got a license, so they've actually done cab charge and they've looked after with different things to get her, because the girls play competitive tennis, I believe it is, and so she's got to run around with those on a Saturday morning now instead of what Jim used to do, so it's made it very... hard for her as well. But Harness Racing has gone it backwards, looking after them. It's been tremendous what they've actually done, and they're right behind this fundraiser we've got on the 27th. They're going to come up with some memorabilia and stuff like that. We've got quite a few items at this stage.
Now, just on Jim, what's the long term? Are they talking that he will get full use of his legs back at some stage in the future? What's the?
They're a little bit confident on the leg side of it, because the feeling is starting to come back. They're very worried about his hands because he's got no feeling whatsoever, and they've predicted that it may never come back.
Gee, that's
which is a situation, but it's strange that his legs are okay, but it's just his hands are causing the problem.
Yeah, well,
he's in good spirits, and on this fundraiser night, if everything goes according to plan, we're going to try and get him out with the help of Reed Sanders. He's going to organise a hospital ambulance for him, and we're going to bring him over to the Do at Bankstown on the 27th. And he's going to, be there for everybody. Yes.
So the tickets for the evening, they're $100 a head, or a table of 10 is going to cost $800. That's going to include your meal, beer, wine, soft drink, and we'll try and get a couple of guest speakers at the night. I'll have a chat to Tappy, and we'll see if we can find a couple of people to turn up and entertain people between the races. And as you mentioned, very importantly, the memorabilia auction that will go ahead during the night.
Yeah, and everything goes, of course, to Jimmy and his family to keep them going in the right direction, yeah. So, yeah, no, it should be a very good night. We're just trying to get as many people there as we can, of course. Jim worked in a few clubs around the place, and they've already approached us to get tables, so that's always a good sign. And our normal friends in the club industry, the Reesby Workers, the Bankstown Sports Club, and... we've got Mount Lewis Bowling Club. They're all clubs that stand behind Bankstown, so we feel confident that they'll come behind us again too and do what they can for Jimmy and his family.
So it's Thursday night, August 27. It's in conjunction with the Bankstown City Cup meeting, so there should be a good crowd on hand. And if people are interested in tickets, give the Bankstown Club a call, 97084111. That's 97084111. Should be a great night too.
Yeah,
good racing.
Always the Bankstown City Cup is a good night for us, and we represent Bankstown City. They look after us, the council, so we look after them as much as we can.
Yep. All right, Les. Well, thank you for that, and we'll definitely keep everyone up to date with Jim's condition and how everything is coming along with that night on Thursday, the 27th of August.
Beautiful. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for taking me on there.
No,
okay.
Good on
no
you,
problem.
Les Bentley there, the president of the Bankstown Harness Racing Club, and we urge people, that number, Hazy, just one more time.
Yeah, 97084111.
Okay, 97084111. I know it's still basically a month away, but it will come around very quickly on August 27. Righto, Hazy, we're going to go to Forbury Park for this Greyhound race, and then we'll come back and talk more harness racing on the pace, including across to WA. I know one listener to our program this morning is none other than Tommy Berry, driving to Wyong. We'll talk about Tommy's horse, Nathan's Courage, shortly. It's 17 to 11. This is Sky Sports Radio, Tuesday on the pace. Greg Hayes is our host. And Hazy, we're about to go to the West.
Yeah, we're over to Western Australia to catch up with Michael Brennan. Of course, he spent a lot of time in the East when Iron Victorious was competing. And we spent a lot of time talking to Mouse in the lead up to those big races. But looks like he's got a very, very nice horse in his stable, a young horse called Nathan's Courage. He's only a 2-year-old. And I'm pretty sure that Mouse Brennan would have been very happy with the horse's debut performance yesterday at Gloucester Park when he won a heat of the Breeders' Crown over at Gloucester Park. Mouse, thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, Hazy. Good to speak to you, mate.
Mate, congratulations with that victory yesterday. That I would suggest that meant a fair bit to everyone who's connected to the horse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously the story's been pretty well publicised that the horse is named in honour of Nathan Berry, and obviously, Tommy and a few other movie stars are involved in the horse. But yeah, it was nice to see the four tracks of his fellas going around. That's pretty much the main focus for us, is that obviously promoting a charity that Nathan was so fond of, and you know, it's nice to have a reasonably handy little horse to fly the flag for those colours.
He won the Heat of the Breeders' Crown. What's the immediate plans with him? Do you make the trip to Victoria now?
Yeah, he'll back up Friday night in a Metro 2 year old race, and then we'll reassess after that. But at this point in time, it's definitely on our radar. You know, obviously, the logistics of getting there still have to go through them. But look, he's above average. And just sort of, I hate to use that adage, that we'll play week by week, but we sort of got to at this stage with 2 year old. You sort of, they can go off pretty quick, but this little fella's pretty relaxed, and he's, as I said, he's above average. So we'll definitely look at Breeders' Crown.
Tell us the story behind him, because he's out of the Ready to Run sale that was conducted at Menangle in December last year, and he looked a real runner at that sale. But, he was in second gear yesterday, and that last quarter was very, very slick.
Yeah, he was the one that I went to buy when I come to the Ready to Run sales in Sydney. We ended up buying two out of the sale, and at this stage, Zidane is the other one, who Nathan Jack and Amanda Turnbull, their clients, bought shares in him, and Wham, one of my other clients, bought a share in him as well. So he's stayed with Amanda and Nathan and doing a great job. And obviously this little bloke, he was the one that was earmarked before I went across. And it just, sort of everything just sort of fell into place. It was one that Simon Miller and Ray Meadowcroft were on victorious with me. Dave Buff said we're ready to buy another one, so just find us one. And it's turned out to be him. And then the girls, my wife and my sister-in-law, were out for lunch with Tommy at the time of the sales, actually, because Tommy was over here riding in the summer carnival, and they were out to lunch with Tommy, and ended up talking him into it. So it was it's good to, especially for the trotting game to get the promotion that the Trots is getting because of because of Tommy and Nathan and obviously Simon Miller over here in the West.
He could obviously run because he showed that at the Ready to Run trials, but you've been very patient with him. You let him have a little break after that.
He went down to, I sent both of them down to Nathan and Amanda, purely because Nathan's carriage was Vic Fred. So I sent him down there to try and get him up to win a 2 year old. He was a colt at that stage, got a little bit colty, so we, decided to geld him and took him out. And then he got a little bit crook, so we just brought him home, and started from here. But, he came to me in great order. Well educated, obviously coming out of the Jack setup. Everyone knows how good a job they do with their babies, and he came to me in great order with very good manners and a very good gait. So I just sort of had to fine tune him a little bit, and that was about it.
What are the owners like? How hard are they to deal with, guys?
Tommy would be terrible. Hazy, he's driving to Wyong now. He's not feeling the best, Mouse, but I reckon he'd be just ringing you, pounding you.
Well, he's actually he's just, Tommy's probably the worst out of all. Simon's pretty happy because he's a trainer. He knows what it's like. He says you just do your job, but look, Tommy's got a great interest in it. And like our relationship, our family's relationship with the Berries is very, very tight. Obviously, we're heading over to the wedding in a couple of weeks. And to be honest, it's just a great thrill to be involved with someone like Tommy. Tommy needs no introduction, and the personality and the person that he is needs no introduction, because he's just he's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Who we saw him grow up as a, come over here with EEI and that, and the success that he's had since he left Perth is just, it's gobsmacking, and it hasn't changed him one little bit. And he's always interested in the horse, which is fantastic. And he actually said to Kelly yesterday that he doesn't get nervous riding in Group 1 races all over the world, but yesterday he was nervous as all three, waiting for his 2 year old to go around. So, it's nice. It's, as I said before, it's great to get some publicity for harness racing.
Mate, it's a cracking story. Personally, though, you're enjoying your career best season. You've got 44 winners this season to date, and we've still got over a month to go. You're enjoying it? You've got a big team around you?
Yeah, look, we're working 18, but you know, the support network we've got, you know, as everyone knows in racing, if you don't have the support network, then you're back against the wall. And we're very lucky that, well, I'm very lucky that I have Lara. She's just gold. And young Chris Pilot works for me. In all the time that I've been in the racing industry, I've never seen a worker like him. He's just phenomenal. But unfortunately, he's leaving us to follow his heart at the end of next month. So, but we're very lucky that we've got great family and friends. And, you know, it's a very taxing lifestyle. But when you get the rewards, it makes it definitely worthwhile.
And, mate, what about I'm Victorious for the people over here in the East? What's the latest with him? Is he enjoying his life back at home?
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. He's very much settled into being a hack. He lives out the front paddock, and look, I get to feed him twice a day, and I get to give him a pat every afternoon. So, of a very, very bad situation, it's been a great result that he's still with us. And look, he's still got that fire in his belly. I just wish his leg would be able to stand up the racing, but unfortunately, he can't. When you see him galloping around the paddock, it's refreshing to know that he's going to have a great lifestyle, but yeah, you still get that little pit in the stomach that wishes that we could just give him one more go, but unfortunately we can't.
And all I can say is, Mouse, that took, go and feed him, can you?
Yeah, well, see, we're a couple of hours behind, and my chooks are the laziest in the world. They don't decide to crow until about 10 o'clock.
Fair dinkum, well, he wants a bit now because he's done it about five times in the interview. You better go and do it, mate. Thanks for your time. Good luck with this story with Nathan's Courage.
Yeah, pleasure, boys, and thanks very much. We'll appreciate it.
Good on you. Michael Brennan joining us there from WA. The owner, Tommy Berry's already texting me here. Come on, Tommy, leave us alone. Greg Hayes is with us and on the pace, and Lauren Pinella is joining us. Hazy?
Yeah, I thought we'd better catch up with Lauren. We haven't seen Lauren for quite some time. She's been on the sideline. She had a very nasty fall. She damaged her hand, and just an update on how Lauren's injury's coming along. Good morning, Lauren.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Really, really well. What's the latest with your injury? Do you have an injury update for us?
Oh, Greg, it's like watching grass grow at the moment. My hand healing, so don't really have a time frame still. But failed to complete my physio last week as my hand wasn't cooperating as well as what doctors thought. But I go this Thursday with a new X-ray and hopefully some better news.
So I know one of the big problems you were facing in the early days was that you had very little feeling in your fingers. Have you got any feeling back yet?
Yeah, I've got probably 95% of feeling back in my index finger. There was a severe cut to the inside of my index finger on the night that they were a little bit worried about, that I could have cut nerves. But I'd done a lot of ligament damage to that finger, but 95% of my feeling's back in the tip of my finger. Still get a few pins and needles when I touch it, but all is good with that.
What about the rest of the broken bones in your hand? Are they healing well?
They are. My biggest worry now is the straightness of my fingers because I broke all three bones in all three of my middle fingers from knuckles to the point of my fingers and snapped all the ligaments in the back of them. So what main option is now is to make sure they grow straight and don't bend over and things like that. So hopefully that comes well in the next couple of weeks.
What are you doing with your time? You're a pretty hard worker, and you get to plenty of race meetings when you're fit. So how are you spending these days where you're on the sideline?
Putting on weight and annoying everyone, I think. just travelling around with the horses. It absolutely does my head in watching it on TV. So you know, I've been getting around with race meetings and up and back forth from Queensland and New South Wales and in between appointments and trying to help Shane out as much as I can. The premiership is big to him, and I really wanted to make sure I could help out everywhere I could.
Now, I know you say the doctors haven't given you a date, but what does your gut tell you? Like, are we talking? Will you drive again this year?
Oh, I'm really, really looking forward to the Inter Dominion Carnival this year. And, you know, every couple of days I grab a saddle that's sitting on the rail and try to grab the reins and see if maybe one day I could grab the reins as hard as what I used to. But, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just like watching grass grow, and it's a really slow process. But hopefully if, you know, I follow all the right things that the doctors do, they know what they're doing, and hopefully I can get back sooner than later. But look, I'm really looking forward to Inter Dominion Carnival, and that'd be my goal, I think.
And the Queensland campaign for the Tritton team just about over. Shane and the horses will be back early next week, and there's some pretty good news. I know that Mac Beauty, I think, he's ready to trial.
Yeah, Mac Beauty will trial on Wednesday. I'll go over there with him, and fingers crossed everything's all good with him. But he's on the way back, and Stewie arrived yesterday. It was really exciting to see him back. But Shane will be in Queensland again. There's one more last race at Redcliffe on the weekend, and then we'll be back after that. So hopefully we can start fresh, and hopefully we've got some really nice stock to bring home with us.
Well, you've got a month, the Shane and Lauren team, to pull back that lead in the premiership. I think Steve has got you guys by one at the moment, but no doubt you'll be trying hard to pick up that premiership. And I know Shane's finished second on a couple of occasions, so he'll be trying as best he can to get that first premiership. Lauren, thanks for the update, and we'll keep in contact, and hopefully there's some better news coming along soon.
No worries. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good on you, Lauren Panama, joining us on the pace. And let's hope that, she aims towards the Inter Dominion. That's a goal. I guess people with injuries, they need goals, Hazy.
Oh, exactly. And I think we all expected, that was a very nasty fall when Lauren hit the ground at Menangle. But I think we all thought, well, she'll be back in the new season.
Yeah.
I know some people thought she'd be back in August, but that's a bit of a worrying sign, and I understand why the doctors won't give her a date. She admits it herself. She's one of those sort of people where if the doctor said, "Righto, you're right to go on September 1," whether she felt 100% or not, she would want to drive on September 1. Yeah. So they don't give her a date. I think she's important for the sport. I think she's good for the sport, and the quicker we can back, the better.
All right, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes, Hazy, to have a chat with Danny Dwyer, who's the CEO out at Bathurst, mate.
Danny Dwyer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you this morning?
Really well, mate. It was a great meeting on Sunday at Bathurst, but I just wanted to get you on to have a chat about the bicentenary celebrations out at Bathurst, and the fact that the six racing identities had been recognised by the city as living legends, if you like. You're one of them, Amanda Turnbull, Steve Turnbull, AD Turnbull, Billy Aspros, and also Peter Nugent. That's quite an honour to be bestowed upon those people within the industry.
Yeah, it certainly was, Greg, and it was quite a surprise as well, to certainly, from my point of view, to have my name read out and been on that list as part of the 200 living legends for Bathurst. It was all part of the bicentennial celebrations for the town, being 200 years since it was proclaimed a town back in 1815, and Bathurst being the oldest inland settlement. It's been a number of months of constant celebration, Proclamation Day, a few other things that have been going on throughout the town. And on Sunday morning we had the opportunity to meet the other living legends at a morning tea ceremony, and it was a great morning tea and a great day, and certainly a great recognition for all of us that are not just involved in the Harness Racing, but everyone else in the town as well.
Terry Neal was telling me that they've set up that they've planted trees for each of you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's going to be an avenue of 200 trees. Each one will have a plaque for each of the living legends, and it'll be on one of the roads to the west of town, up on Bradwardine Road. So the trees are already in the phase of being planted. They're about 3 to 4 metres high, so mature trees, and they'll form both sides of the road from, I think it's from Bradwardine Road to Sutter Street, which is on the western side of town, and they'll be planted over 3 or 4 weeks. So it'll certainly be interesting when it's when they're all finished and established, and it'll certainly outline the city and will be a great memories for all of us that have had that opportunity to be selected as the living legends at this point in time.
Mate, massive honour. Did it come as a bit of a shock for you?
It did personally. And I think they said on the morning that there could have been another 200 people selected as well. And I think to be included in that first 200 is is something that was really unexpected from my point of view. But it really a privilege. And my involvement in harness racing has probably come to the fore, I suppose, in the last 4 or 5 years. But certainly to have that acknowledgement at that level was certainly something I'll always remember and hold up very dearly, and can thank Harness Racing that's been able to give me that platform to be able to do that.
And what about the move to the new track? I think it's been an absolute massive boost for the Bathurst horses, and I think you can see that from the record that guys like Steve Turnbull, Bernie Hewitt now, and the success that they're having in the city at Menangle. That bigger track has definitely helped the Bathurst region.
Yeah, definitely, Greg. It's certainly lifted the profile of the club, and you know, you can see now that, you know, the first one to be completed, Bathurst and then Wagga and Tamworth, it's going to be so good for the industry. You know, you're always, I guess, hoping that it's going to be the success that you want it to be. But, you know, I think you're right. You know, in the 8 months or 9 months that we've been out here at the new track and the positive comments from all the trainers and drivers, you know, when you look at the clubs, you know, that we measure as successes with our on-course revenues, you know, and gate takings and bar takings and catering and that type of thing, you know, the mammoth increases on what we were getting at the showground. And the showground was a great venue and one that we left behind with fond memories, but the next stage where we want to be in harness racing was to move to the new venue, and that's certainly taken off really well, and I think it can only forge ahead and get stronger and stronger and make the industry even more stronger as well.
Danny, we thank you for joining us on our program this morning. Congratulations on the news from the weekend, and good luck with the club into the future.
Thank you very much.
Danny Dwyer, the CEO at Bathurst. A minute to Forbury here, Hazy. We can't ignore what was announced late yesterday in Victoria. Stake money increases exceeding $40 million for the first time in a season. And it's really from top to bottom, but particularly from our point of view with the major races, the Hunter Cup goes up to $500,000 next year.
Yeah, good to see. You know, races, our feature races need to be for very good money to encourage owners to come to the sport. And, you know, by having races for $500,000, you're going to entice those people to come. You know, good to see Harness Racing Victoria moving forward, giving prize money. And as you said, across the board, it's not just the big guys that are going to be profiting from this, also the little trainers who compete at the everyday meeting. So Harness Racing Victoria should... Well, they deserve a round of applause. They've done well.
Yep, they certainly have. As have you on your on-the-pace debut. But I'm hearing now, just getting a message as we're about to go to Forbury, he's not on next week. What's going on? No. Hazy, no, where are you?
I'm going to be taking a well-earned break for a couple of weeks, getting out of the cold weather. So I might hand it over to Saren Adams, I think, and get Saren to fill in for Gareth while he's away. And Saren, very, very capable. And I'm looking forward to catching up with the show on podcast.
Yeah, it'll be there the next couple of weeks. Good on you, Hazy. Enjoy your little break, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Greg Hayes with On The Pace. Thank him for that. And podcast this program if you've missed any portion of it a little while later on our Sky Sports Radio webpage.